Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
The Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. Answering your home improvement questions every Saturday on WPT. Presented by Charlotte Comfort Systems Heating and Air Conditioning and Acosta Heating, Cooling, and Electrical on News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WPT.
Good morning and welcome. It's the Home Improvement Show. It's the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm Dave Doval.
I'm Scott Shelton with Charlotte Comfort Systems.
And I am Zeke Acosta with Acosta Heating, Cooling, and Electrical.
John's with us today, but he's having a little technical difficulty, so we'll be patient, wait for him to get dialed in. And welcome, guys. Glad you guys came.
Hey, good morning.
Glad you're in. Got a good story to tell you. Line's open. We're talking home improvement today, 704-570-1110. The HVAC guys are in, so if you have any questions about air conditioning or the upcoming heating systems or heating seasons for the heating system, give us a call about that. Of course, we'll take any calls. Been an interesting week for me, and got called in on a little project that they were having had a little mold issue. So I guess John's in.
I'm here, David. Sorry. Yes.
Hey, no worries. Dude, just plug that thing in.
Did a little Control-Alt-Delete, and we're ready to rock and roll.
I hear you.
We got a Microsoft brick this morning.
All right. Good deal. Good deal. We were just talking about the situation that I ran into this week. So, and we'll just go on with that. I guess, where do you want to go ahead and set some topics?
No, finish that up. That's cool. Okay. We'll set some topics.
So this just kind of reiterates what we've always talked about, or what these guys have always talked about, of getting your maintenance done, and of course having someone qualified is pretty important as well. But went to this house. The gal was having a mold problem at the ducts. So, well, we don't know it was mold. It was not been tested, but there was a fungus growing on the registers. Anyway, the HVAC guy, we called somebody else. They came in and opened up the return, went out to the furnace, and the condensation line was completely stopped up. Opened up the filter box, and there was probably 15 gallons of water in the bottom of this furnace. The entire furnace is covered in dirt and fungus. So, and it's just 2015 was the year of the furnace, so it's not that old. Anyway, just a terrible mess in the house, terrible for their health and all of this. And it's a rental home, and it's a nice rental home, but just wasn't being taken care of. Nobody was paying attention, you know. And I think they had somebody out there, but the guy that came out a few days before that said there was nothing wrong with the furnace and changed the filter and put it in backwards.
Yikes. And he it seems like he would have seen the water.
Well, all you had to do when you pull the filter out of the box was just look. You could see your reflection in the water. So I don't know. But
that's not funny.
But I know it's not, and I feel for the gal and the son that are living in the house so anyway. But the landlord's taking care of all of it, and obviously he's getting a new HVAC company. Because that's not going to work out. And I think he owns like 50 houses, so whoever gets that is probably, you know. That's good, though. I mean, you know, we found out, and maybe that'll help some other people in some of his other houses if that's what was going on everywhere.
So that's amazing. It's funny. I had a similar experience. Nothing like that, but I'm helping some folks up and coming maintain a house, just kind of helping them with some routine maintenance and checking on things. And they have a brand new addition that they put on. It's actually separate from the main house. So it has its own HVAC system. So the downstairs system is a very small house or sex area. So they have a unit up and a unit down. The downstairs air exchange was put in a closet. And because it's small, it doesn't, the space is small. It doesn't have ductwork everywhere. It just has the air return in the air exchange unit, and there's a filter that slides in and so on. The problem is they put it in a closet, which you would expect to do, and the ventilation on the closet to let air at the air exchange unit was an 8x16 soffit vent cut into the bottom of the door.
cylinder. It didn't suck the door into the
furnace. I'm like, really? We did find two small children and a rodent stuck to the vent when we opened the door. Anyway, it's all stuff. We'll talk about a lot of stuff this morning. And Zeke and is this Zeke Scott with us?
Yeah, he's
okay. I wasn't sure it was Scott. So I thought there's a couple of things I want to tee up if I could. And I know we'll be fast on a break, but I was reading a little bit on some new, what I think might be new technology to try to hit the very high energy efficiency ratings and to deal with the decarbonization standards and so on like that. And it's MIDEA. I don't know if they pronounce it MIDEA Evox Central Inverter. I was like, man, I hope you can translate that into English for us. I was looking at sensor enhanced vents. Then I got a grin because I read this is why you keep John away from everything. I read a little article about ice powered HVAC, back to ice, back to the future. And then you guys always talk about remote monitoring, and that's probably a good deal. David, I know that you are out there with a question about stains on brick, and we're going to go ahead. If you don't mind, we'll ask you just to hang tight. I know we will be able to help you out, but we're going to be right up against a break there. So we're going to go ahead and do that. Folks, if you have, as David does, a question unrelated to HVAC, happy to have your calls this morning too at 704-570-1110, 704-570-1110. Or we have the resident experts on HVAC in the house, and this is always a great time to get the benefit of their thinking and experience and honest and accurate diagnosis. So grab a cup of coffee, get yourselves ready, because we're going to take a little home improvement break, and then we'll be back to have home improvement conversations when the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave returns.
Quality assurance in heating.
Welcome back. This is the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm John Gordon.
I'm Dave Doval.
I'm Zeke Acosta with Acosta Heating, Cooling, and Electrical.
And I'm Scott Shelton with Charlotte Comfort Systems Heating and Air Conditioning.
Gentlemen, thank you for being with us this morning. I would like to introduce for your listening pleasure, David. Good morning, David. You're on the Home Depot Home Improvement Show. How are you this morning?
I'm great. I don't know if you remember, but I called last week about interior brick wall with stains on it.
We do.
Well, I tried a lot of different solutions, crud cutter, paint remover, all that. Nothing worked. Nothing dented it. Then I tried light sanding with 120 grit sandpaper, and that worked.
Did it really? So it wasn't very deep into the brick?
It was not. You know, I don't know if it's all gone, but because of the brick pattern, it's enough gone that
You don't see it.
You can't tell unless you look really close.
Awesome. Well, there you go.
I even ordered a Bissell hand steamer, which I now can return unused.
Oh, my.
I don't know. You might like
you
that.
You may want to hang on. Yeah, I don't know. David loves his.
Mine is great for a lot of things, and I'm still inventing uses for it, but pretty cool.
They come in very useful, helpful. I mean,
yeah,
but it was enough of an issue that I had to call back and give you the answer.
Well, I'm glad you do. We always like it when people call back, whether it's okay that didn't work, any more ideas, or wow, that worked like a champ. So
well, and let's talk about something real quick though, David. So that and that's good. So that was most likely it was not a tumbled brick, or maybe it was if you sanded all of the finish off of it. But
now he would know.
You would know. So a lot of bricks that we see out there with the different colors and whatnot, if you were to sand them, it would take the face off of the brick and it would just be a red clay brick underneath.
This was a tan brick. It was not hard finished on the outside. It did have some pores in it, but it was not hard finished, I guess.
Okay, so it didn't have a sand coating on it with colorant.
No.
Okay, good.
It also. I did use a wire brush on one corner in a drill. That was the wrong thing to do.
Yeah, it
probably
got
a little too aggressive, right?
Yeah, it was too aggressive. The sandpaper fixed even that. But it was, you know, light sanding and just a touch here or there with your finger on the back of the sandpaper.
Okay, good.
Nice.
Good. Well, thanks. We appreciate that. It's always helpful for everyone to know.
Absolutely. Love your show.
Thanks, man.
Hey, thanks, David. Appreciate the call. All right. David goes away. Roger's got a question. Good morning, Roger. You're on the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. How are you?
Good morning. I'm fine. Hope you are.
We are.
My problem is with my condensation pumps. I got two units underneath the house in the crawl space, and I don't know whether it's because of the wet weather or every afternoon showers we're getting, but they seem to be producing a ton of water, which means I have to relocate the hose that comes out from underneath the house.
Mm-hmm.
My question is, can I put that on a bush?
Is the condensate from the air conditioning or from a sump pump? Taking water out of the crawl space.
AC. Air conditioning.
AC.
Unbelievable amount of water.
Well, I mean, if you've got variable speed equipment, you could take, you know, 12 to 25 gallons of humidity a day out of the house per system.
Yeah.
The question, though, is can he put it, can he let it go to a plant?
That plant, it would kill it.
It will kill it.
It will kill it because you're going to overwater it.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm
open for suggestions. I got limited amounts of places I can put
out
to the curb.
No way.
So here's something we spoke about a couple weeks ago, Roger and David. I think you call it a dry well,
mm-hmm.
but just digging a pit where the water's coming out doesn't have to be big. It doesn't have to go to the street. You're just going to dig a pit. And then you're going to line it with landscape fabric, dump rock into it, cover the rock with landscape fabric, and finish the remainder off with about 6 or 7 inches of dirt, maybe a little bit of less, and then plant your grass back over it and run your tube to that. And that space where the rock is will allow water to fill that space, gradually seep out into the soil, and not just become, you know, the swamp land that grows
right
things.
So
yeah.
So Roger, so when you do this, the best thing to do is to get yourself what size pipe is coming out of the house?
About a half inch.
Okay, so what you probably want to do is go to a 3-inch pipe. It could be corrugated or it can be regular burial corrugated black pipe, solid. You just need a little bit and a 90, but let that come up to the pipe. And leave a little air gap so you can always see that water's dripping in there, because you need to be able to maintain that, right, guys? You want to know that the condensation, it gives you visual that it's dripping and that your line's not stopped up. And then run that pipe out away from the house. I don't know. I mean, the further the better, really, and just have a little pitch on it, and then set your dry well away from the foundation, because what you don't want is you don't want that water in the dry well. Once it seeps through that rock, you don't want it soaking back into the foundation.
No.
And getting up under the crawl space. So,
is it even up to code? Can I run that into the main drain underneath the house?
They don't want you doing that anymore.
You mean the sewer?
Yeah.
Yeah, they have to treat that water, so they change that code.
And it's, you know, it's not just yours, Roger. If everybody did it, it's more water that they're having to treat, as Scott says. So you're better.
Last year, this is the first year I've had this level of problem. A couple of years ago, my problem was that the line froze, and of course that shut down everything.
Right.
So I dug a little deeper and put it underground and then run it out to the end of the planter and into the yard, and that's when I've got this swamp out there now.
Yeah, you really got to get it down in the ground, especially, you know, if it was dry all summer, it probably would take it right in. But since we've had so much rain, you're better off to put a dry well in. So, you know, if you just dig it 2x2x2, you know, either a square or circle, doesn't matter. Line it, fill it full of gravel, and just have your pipe in there in the gravel. And remember to use a bigger size pipe and let that half-inch pipe or three-quarter-inch pipe drip into the bigger pipe and leave a little air gap so you can see it.
Okay, but I can't put it on the plants. Is the only problem with the amount of water on the plants is the water that we put on the plants.
Well, Do you have high efficiency furnaces that are also drained out of there in the wintertime?
Yeah.
Yeah, because you said it froze.
So, okay. Yeah. Okay. So the aldehydes in that water from the furnace operation would definitely kill the plants.
The what from the which?
Basically, the spent product of the process of burning the natural gas.
Right.
Uh huh.
It's acidic.
Has a little acid in it.
Yeah.
Oh. Okay. Well. Okay. How far do I need to get the water away from the foundation?
I would say at least 4 feet. If you could go further, that's even better. And just because you're going to buy a 10-foot length of pipe, so if it's sticking up out of the ground 2 feet, you could go with a 90, you could go out 8 feet from the house, and then you don't have to throw that rest of that pipe away.
Yeah. Okay. Well, guys, I appreciate your show, and I appreciate your advice. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Roger, thank you for your call and your question.
That was a great call.
Have a great day. All right, Roger goes off. We have some lines open. We're at 704-570-1110, 704-570-1110. It feels like we're always humid this time of year, but it just seems like it has been overwhelming. Are you guys seeing that there's actually higher humidity this last string of maybe 3-4 weeks or so, or is it just kind of business as usual?
We're just getting old.
Yeah, don't tolerate nothing. We got a couple minutes before a break here. I was reading that, two things. We'll make this simple, I guess, because just to get people thinking. One of the articles I was reading was on kind of the average age of HVAC systems right now, and I think it's probably driven by a lot of the changeouts that were made when the refrigerant changes happened. But it says that 45% of central HVAC systems are 10 years older or greater. And it doesn't say, you know, do this, do that, do the other thing. It just makes that statement. But I would love to get your guys' opinion, and we may have to wait till after the break, about, is it at 10 years old, what is, you know, we've probably lost efficiency to some degree. We're certainly not living on borrowed time, but the opportunity to replace those systems is there. And then I'd love to get the benefit of your thinking on whether you think the cost of equipment, which is likely to be higher, and I want to talk about some technology and what could be driving that as well, if the cost of the equipment, higher as it may be, is still justified by replacing, you know, the unit and the efficiency that you'd get out of it. So we've got that. We've got 1,000 other questions. We've got a question from Mary. Mary, we're going to let you on hold for a minute, if you don't mind. We've got to take a hard stop break here, but we'll make sure that we get you after that break. If you want to join us, we're at 704-570-1110, 704-570-1110. We've got our partners, our HVAC partners, Charlotte Comfort Systems and Acosta Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. So take advantage of that when we return to the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. Welcome back. This is the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm John Gordon.
I'm Dave Doval.
I'm Scott Shelton with Charlotte Comfort Systems Heating and Air Conditioning.
And I'm Zeke Acosta with Acosta Heating, Cooling, and Electrical.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate you being with us. Mary, thank you for holding through the break. We're going to do a quick Home Depot Product of the Week, and then we are going to jump your way. Folks, this week's Product of the Week is a reminder that summer's over. All the pool junk, all the rec junk, all the stuff that you've been messing with, picnic stuff, it's got to get dealt with. And so we're going to suggest you put it on a Husky heavy-duty, boltless steel garage shelf system. I really like these things just because, like, I've worked for Home Depot for, like, 30 years, and so I'm used to this monster racking and putting it together and having it hold a bunch of junk. And this is that kind of, well, it's not quite as stout as all that, but it's same type of system. No nuts and bolts required, no tools required, 1,000 pounds per shelf weight limit. It can be stacked straight up and down, it can be stacked side by side. There's a 4-tier, 5-tier unit, a couple different colors. Got a lifetime warranty, and it's about $180, little less. So that's it. That's our Home Depot Product of the Week for this week. Now we're going to talk to Mary. Good morning, Mary. You're on the Home Depot Home Improvement Show. How are you?
Hi, good morning.
How can we help, Mary?
Oh, thank you. So my home is about 12 years old. We've never had any problem with the crawl space. We've been running a dehumidifier under there constantly, and with a drain out the foundation to the yard. And it's running fine, no smells coming out of the air conditioner, just fine. And then recently I've noticed just a stale smell. So we looked under there to see if there was any mold or anything. Can't really see anything. Dehumidifier's running, but I don't know what else it could be. I mean, I go under there and it is stale smelling, but
so have you had the area, like the space, inspected or
anyone? No, we haven't. I didn't know, you know, if the dehumidifier, like maybe we need a stronger dehumidifier.
Yeah, so who did y'all put this in yourself, or is it sealed crawl space or semi-sealed?
It's not sealed. It was just the home builder put the dehumidifier in. Okay. It's just a freestanding upright unit.
Right.
And how does it drain out of there again?
It's just a hose coming out of it.
Okay.
That's running out, you know, through the foundation into the yard.
Okay. How long has it been there?
12 years.
And do you change the filter or clean it or service it?
No, but it just runs. And then I did look recently and it had clogged up. So the bucket was full, so we dumped it and had to change the drain hose on it.
Do you see any active condensation, like on the ductwork or on the floor in the crawl space?
No, it everything's dry and I can't see any water anywhere. And we were looking for mold anywhere. I guess I just probably need to call a crawl space person to come take a look and see if there's a problem.
Well, yeah. And the foundation does not have vents that feed air into the crawl space?
No. Uh-uh.
Okay.
That's interesting.
I would bet that the dehumidifier probably needs servicing if it's been 12 years.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe
it should have a filter.
I was going to say, maybe just replace that thing, because if it's not a commercial, it may have exceeded its life expectancy. You may be pumping some serious electricity into that thing and really not getting a whole lot of, you know, condensation out.
I see. I'm sorry. I didn't understand what you had said. Yes, the crawl space does have vents, and they are open.
Oh, yeah. You're really
working. That's where a lot of your moisture is coming from.
Sure. You're working.
That's really going to work that dehumidifier.
Sure. Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah. So it is time. I would give Dry Pro a call and just have those folks come out and do an inspection and evaluate and let them give you some advice on what needs to be done. But running a dehumidifier in a crawl space with the vents open. Scott's the analogy king.
Yeah.
What would you call that, Scott?
It's like going down the interstate on a hot day with your windows down, wondering why the AC's not keeping up.
Right. There you go.
Right. So this sounds really naive, but are there certain times that we're supposed to open or close this crawl space vents? Certain times of the year?
Summer closed. Winter open.
Summer closed. Okay. We're just trying to dehumidify the world then.
Exactly.
With them open. So, okay, we'll call Dry Pro. Thanks so much for y'all's help.
Okay.
Thank you, Mary. Appreciate the question. Reminds me of like my mother and father growing up. What are you trying to do? Cool the outside? Mm-hmm. Close the door.
Yeah, yeah.
Or
that's a tough deal. That's a dehumidifier needs to be in a sealed space. It doesn't necessarily have to have a complete liner. If you're pretty dry but you want to close the vents up, you can do a semi-sealed crawl space where they actually close all the vents and seal those off, put a dehumidifier in, put down your vapor barrier. I know Dry Pro, I don't think that they're even doing those anymore. I think you either go all the way or they're not.
We talked about that. Was it last week before with Mark Steiner?
Yeah, yep. I think they've been doing it long enough that they figured out that.
Kind of figured it's the best way to
do it. Yeah, you end up having some other problems. So.
Yep.
But.
All right, 704-570-1110, 704-570-1110. We're about 40 seconds away from a break, so we're going to go ahead and take it. I would like to come back, though, and talk about The question that we teed up about the average age of an HVAC unit, and also, you know, start thinking about how you make plans for it, and then get your comments and thoughts on some of the what I think to be newer innovations with respect to technology, or at least energy efficiency, and how systems are trying to do it. Because I read about one system, a heat pump system, that is effective at -4 degrees Fahrenheit. Would love to hear what you guys are thinking about that. Folks, this is the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. Going to take a little break, and we will be right back. Welcome back. This is the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm John Gordon.
I'm Dave Doval.
I'm Zeke Acosta with Acosta Heating, Cooling, and Electrical.
And I'm Scott Shelton with Charlotte Comfort Systems Heating and Air Conditioning.
Always appreciate hearing you guys' voice on the other end. We're going to get great information, and here's a perfect opportunity. Don has a question. Good morning, Don. You're on the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. How are you?
Good morning, gentlemen. What a pleasure it is to hear your show and talk to you.
It is our pleasure as well.
I don't know whether you talk brand names on your program or not. I don't believe in giving a company a bad name, but I've got a digital thermostat that controls a pretty nice premium heat pump. Mm-hmm. And every time we have a power outage, and we've had at least two this season, my thermostat loses its mind. And instead of producing air conditioning when the power is restored, I get heat. And more than once, I think we've had it twice this summer, you have to go into the installer settings and reconstruct the settings and the program for it. I didn't know how to do it before, but I've paid
an
HVAC man several times to come out and do it. I called the company, and they didn't seem too interested in my problem. They did verify that there was no battery backup on this thermostat. So that's okay. My story.
All right. Gentlemen?
Is it part of a standard system, or is there zoning involved?
No, it's just it's my upstairs unit.
Well, because the thermostats have redundant memory.
One for upstairs and one for downstairs.
Have they replaced that thermostat?
I'm sorry. I'm outside the porch, and I got cars going by.
I said, have they replaced the thermostat, and did that
not
have an impact?
It is 5 or 6 years old now. It didn't do that initially, but last two summers, it's done that anytime we had a power failure.
Well, the thermostat should not be losing that setting that you had it on. Even if it doesn't have a battery that you replace, they have an internal battery for the memory that should, mm-hmm. So it could be that that's a faulty backup on the thermostat. It might be actually having to replace the thermostat.
Okay, well. Didn't know what the next step was. I was feeling like I was almost forced to do that, but didn't understand why I had this problem. But
I can understand why you're
good. It's something about the reversing switch that it turns it off or something, and you get heat instead of cool.
Okay,
when it comes back on.
So when it comes back on, it's normal. That goes back to its default.
It's going back to the factory setting, maybe, and not the program that you're adding to it.
So
I understand why you said didn't just say replace it.
It asked a lot of questions. You have to answer a lot of questions about what type of system you have, how many stage, and so forth. So
yeah.
Well, thermostats in today's world have gotten really, just like everything else, have gotten really expensive. So I can understand
really
why you didn't just.
Yeah. Yeah. But I out of necessity, I had to learn how to go into the installer settings and reset it.
So it sounds like the diagnosis here is if it keeps forgetting the settings, that the battery, the internal battery that holds the memory for program, could be like not operating correctly, and it needs to be replaced. Is there any way to validate that, guys, or just he has to go get a new thermostat?
Well, now that he knows how to go in and reset it, as long as he's comfortable with that, he only has to worry about it if the power goes out.
Got it.
Well, it's somewhat annoying, especially if you take a day trip or two and you have a power outage at home and you're not there and the heat just runs and runs and runs.
Well, does the thermostat allow you to connect to it through an app on your phone when you're away?
Well, I think it does, but I'm not sure. Possibly.
Okay. Well,
Don, I don't know a 1,000th of what these guys knows, but if it was my house and that was a scenario, and whoever did the original work was non-responsive, I would call somebody else and say, look at this and tell me what it's going to take to make this thing work.
I got you. Understand.
If it was Zeke or Scott in the house kind of looking at it, they would, say, well, do this, do that. Or even if it was their house, they would be nimble with that. But, man, I don't know. I'm in your camp. I think that's pretty annoying. I would want a solution. I won't say the name of it either. I bought a sound system for my house and, put everything in it, all high tech. And every couple of weeks it would just stop. And I'd have to reset everything. And my foot hurt after I drop kicked that unit.
Yeah, this is a very premium brand.
Yeah.
Unit as well as thermostat.
Yep. Yeah. So you.
Well,
go ahead, Scott. I'm sorry.
Some of these thermostats could cost $700, $800, $1,000 or more. They're little iPads.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll look into that. I didn't. That's not the direction I wanted to go. I was hoping it had a backup battery, but the manufacturer said no.
Well, it does have redundant memory built into it, and I think the only other way or only other thing you could try, if it does have that menu that you're talking about, is to just go into the thermostat, reset it to factory settings, and then program it the way you want and see if that makes a change the next time the power goes out.
Okay.
When you reset it to the factory standards or settings, it's like starting over again.
Okay. All right.
Well, there could be a glitch, because not only that, these thermostats also are updated through your internet. When the manufacturer realizes inequities, they send out updates that your thermostat downloads and then incorporates.
Okay.
So all you would do is, by resetting it, it would index all of those updates and start over again.
Okay.
Maybe one of those zeros or ones got out of place.
I'll try that factory settings next time, the default to that, and then go in and enter my own. And one additional thing, I hate to take up so much of your time, but this system has never dehumidified like our downstairs unit. And I called Zeke's company's been out to my house and some of the guy out here, and he programmed that thermostat so my dehumidification was really good in that upstairs. I don't know what he did, but it was not dehumidifying like it should. It didn't get the humidity down low enough. So,
well, and some days that's really hard to do. If you've got 95 degrees outside, it will dehumidify like crazy. But the settings, it works differently to dehumidify than it does the cooling.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes the only way you get there is it overshoots the temperature. So if you had it set for 75, it may have to drop it all the way down to 73 or 72 to achieve that added dehumidification.
Okay. All right. Guys, I thank you for your time. You have relieved me of a little bit of heartburn.
All right, sir. We appreciate the call, Don. All right, Don goes to, I feel like, ponder some more, but Scott, I think your point is valid. The technology behind this stuff is significant, and I don't know. So
I love ours. It does a great job.
I saw yours. And I think one of the things that I wanted to talk about is just, and we're about a minute away from a break, but I did want to talk about remote monitoring, right? Where you have a system and you have an HVAC partner, like Zeke or Scott. I guess it's probably the manufacturer, actually. I don't know exactly how that works, but devices like that can be monitored, and you know something is not functioning optimally, technically, way before you have any kind of physical or comfort manifestations in the home, and probably except in California, where they're going to just turn your heat on and off for you, that's probably a good idea. That was
we've had that for years, where we can get an alert if someone's system is not functioning properly and know it before they know it.
Yeah, it's quite good. Well, we're going to take a little break here, folks. It's the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. We've got our HVAC partners in, and so lots of great questions. We will return right after these important messages.
The Home Depot Home Improvement Show, brought to you in part by DryPro.
The Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. Answering your home improvement questions every Saturday on WPT. Presented by Charlotte Comfort Systems Heating and Air Conditioning and Acosta Heating, Cooling, and Electrical on News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WPT.
Welcome back, everybody. This is hour number two of the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm John Gordon.
I'm Dave Doval.
I'm Scott Shelton with Charlotte Comfort Systems Heating and Air Conditioning.
And I'm Zeke Acosta with Acosta Heating, Cooling, and Electrical.
Thanks for being with us, guys. I just wanted to ask a question to understand. So I was reading this article that says 45% of central HVAC units are 10 years or older, probably a function of the refrigerant changeouts, stuff that didn't. Well, I shouldn't even speculate on that. But I was reading this thing, and I don't know anything about, like, manufacturers other than the main ones that we know. Like, I don't know all the component people behind the scenes and stuff like you guys do. But there was an article on that a company, Media, M-I-D, and it may be Media, M-I-D-E-A, introduces a EVOX, E-V-O-X, central inverter heat pump. And it alleges that it's like 30% annual energy savings. It's eligible for rebates. It's capable of 100% heating output at -4 degrees Fahrenheit. And I'm like, is this like legit? Is this a flux capacitor? What's the deal? Do you guys know about this? Or is this just standard equipment in our current equipment setup?
Well, it's not standard, but I mean, there are. I've never seen one that said 100% at such a low temperature.
That's what blew my mind.
I'd want to see the test data.
Let me qualify. Available in a wide capacity range from 1.5 to 5 tons, all EVOX cold climate heat pumps are capable of 100% heating output at -4 degrees Fahrenheit. I'll send you the link for this. I'll send you the link to this because I would love to hear your thoughts on that. Because, you know, I'm a heat pump fan. I have natural gas. I do love when hot comes out of that register. But at I don't know. That's pretty amazing. Go ahead.
We don't know what the temperature rise is. But, I mean, the units that we have and have had for a long time now that use these DC inverter compressors, which is, you know, what you get in, say, a Mitsubishi mini-split. They've been incorporated into the ducted systems that Zeke and I install, and most companies install. They are amazing as far as how they can adjust and operate as the conditions change or as your needs change to meet that demand.
So this is not like Star Wars new technology. It's out there. You guys have similar solutions, and that would just be part of the conversation that you're having. Bar And we don't have to worry about it, whether it gives out 100% heating at -4 degrees Fahrenheit. I mean, I don't know. I'll buy you both a nice dinner the next time it hits -4 in Charlotte. I would love to get the benefit of your thinking on that. I'll send you the link to the article.
Yeah.
Then the question that I really would like to hear you guys chat about a little bit would be, so if these systems are 10 years or older, and actually I'm thinking that mine might actually be coming on that time frame, is it time to start thinking about replacement, and what's happened to the cost of, you know, fundamental units, the stuff that the average Joe or the average Jill is going to put in? Has it increased to the point that we got to start thinking about accruing, money to for replacement sooner? And how much longer does it take to get your money back? And how many more questions can I ask without taking a breath?
Well, I mean, if you think about it, if you bought a system 10 years ago, and let's say it was, $6,000. In just the last 2 years, our cost of equipment has gone up an average of 45%. Our cost. So it's, that $6,000 system from 10 years ago could easily have doubled in price, or maybe even a little higher than that. And it's just a function of the cost of everything, all the transportation costs, the goods and the materials, the labor to build it.
I was in a meeting on Wednesday. We looked at consumer price index without food and fuel, like gasoline. So those two inputs taken out. And I looked at a graph from 1953, which is, I think, when they started tracking it, until last week. And without food and fuel, the thing takes a jump in 2020, the likes of which history's never seen. And I don't mean, it blipped up, X number of basis points. I mean, it's a geometric magnitude. And so I think that's affecting everything. Then you pile on, as you say, the cost of distribution or fuel. It just gets ugly fast. I guess my question is, energy costs also are rising. So it feels to me, without doing some kind of great study, that it still makes sense that while the cost of the equipment is going up, every kilowatt hour that you save is a bigger savings also because of the cost of energy. So I guess this is the simple question. What has changed in your recommendation about how to anticipate savings from efficiency and units?
Well, a system that is, 10 years old is basically, even the best unit that had the 10-year parts warranty is out of warranty. So any repair is going to be expensive, fairly expensive repair.
Right.
And the life expectancy of it, on an air conditioning system, 10 to 12 years is the actual life expectancy. So it's getting right there at the replacement time. If you have any kind of major repair,
then you're kind of,
you need to look at, replacing. Yeah. Also, the fact that in 10 years, the efficiency, that unit that you bought 10 years ago might have been, a high efficiency at that time, it's probably gone up 50% since then.
Right.
So your cost of operation is going to go down. The fact that you have, less breakage and, a new 10-year parts warranty, when you start looking at all that, it's
even worse though, because starting this year they're already they started the phase out of our current refrigerant R410A, and as of the first of next year, there's a new refrigerant requirement, and then in 2024 they're going to reduce the amount of 410A by an additional 60%. So that cost of that refrigerant for us has already gone up about 600% in the last 2 years.
Yikes.
And they're going to continually limit its production, which means that cost is
going to continue to go
up. We think it's high now.
Yep.
So when you, and then the government also is implementing, Department of Energy is implementing new energy efficiency standards starting the first of next year. So equipment that was made this year that's closer to the minimum can't even be installed next year.
Wow. So what,
so right, we gotta, if you're thinking it's time to buy a new system, I would look at doing it this calendar year.
All right, look, I ran us past the break. Hang on, Scott. I ran us past the break badly. I wasn't even paying attention. My brain was spinning. Guys, hang tight. Folks, it's the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. Going to take a quick break and be right back. Welcome back. This is the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm John Gordon.
I'm Dave Doval.
I'm Zeke Acosta with Acosta Heating, Cooling, and Electrical.
And I'm Scott Shelton with Charlotte Comfort Systems Heating and Air Conditioning.
Guys, thanks for being with us. I had to cut us off there. I'm sorry. I ran long past the break. But I think the gist was call to action, if you will. If your system is 10 plus years old, rising energy costs, rising cost of equipment based on both raw materials, freight, so on, and rising costs driven by additional energy efficiency requirements. It sounds like if you're not in a bad place right now, it could be worthwhile to consider changing that unit out and changing it out before the end of the year, before January 1. Did I understand that correctly?
Definitely.
Lots of changes coming. I mean, the new refrigerant is primarily, the two major refrigerants are propane-based.
Yikes.
They're trying to do away with fluorocarbons.
That sounds flammable.
And think about propane. It's heavier than gas, so it actually sinks to the lowest place instead of dissipating and floating away.
So you better.
So it makes me wonder. I haven't seen it. I don't know what the added requirements are going to be for us safety-wise when the new equipment is installed.
Well, I want to take calls, but I have a dumb question. When you braise, don't you use flame?
Yeah, but there's no refrigerant in the piping when you braise.
Okay. All right. Just asking. That's the dummy John.
Just now, there's probably guys that'll try it.
Just nerving out, man. Hey, look at that guy with no eyebrows. All right. 704-570-1110. 704-570-1110. Here's a question I want to ask you guys. So this is another article. This is why John shouldn't be on the internet looking at stuff. Ice-powered air conditioning. Ice Air is based out of Glendale, California. I don't think I'm saying anything bad. Their product, Ice Bear, is an air conditioning unit that's powered by ice. It freezes 450 gallons of water in a tank overnight during the ice charging mode. And then when switched to ice cooling mode during the day, it provides cool air conditioning for up to 6 hours, after which point the AC reverts back to the building's conventional unit. What do you think?
I've seen guys on the golf course take a cooler and fill it with ice and rig a fan to it and, you know, cool themselves that way.
Why are you back on the golf course?
That's going to be a whole other show, John.
But what I'm saying is it sounds like it's in addition to. So you're paying for energy to create this ice, and then you're going to blow air across it.
Exactly.
And so
then you're going to start over again after it melts.
It's like having windmills, solar panels, and a nuclear reactor, because you're still going to need it.
All right. It feels to me like the heat of transition from water, liquid, to ice requires a fair amount of energy. It's been high school since I did that math, but
it would, if you use thermodynamics, it would tell you that it would use the same amount of energy to create the same amount of air conditioning.
Right. So what's the value in a state where water is a commodity? Why do you want to have an extra 450 gallons in every home?
Well, and do you then flush that water and refill, or do you treat that water and continually reuse it? It's something different.
Yeah, one that I can see possibly making a difference is if you had time of day usage and you get you pay less for the electricity at night when they're making that ice.
Yes. Okay. So it's a consumer benefit, which is great, but it's not, it doesn't necessarily reduce energy consumption.
No.
Because you're
sounds like it'd be more of a commercial application.
Maybe that's what it is.
Where do you store 450 gallons of water to and then have an expansion tank to hold it as it freezes?
Yikes. I didn't think about that. Okay, let's not do ice-powered air conditioning.
We're kind of spoiled here because our energy costs are so low.
Yeah. Yeah.
But if you lived in California where it could be 3 to 4 times what we pay, you're probably a little more cognizant of
every penny.
Kilowatt.
For sure. Yeah. And then especially, as you say, if it's a commercial application, where you're cooling huge areas, I can see. And then you probably do, if you've negotiated correctly with the power company as a commercial entity. Zeke, to your point, you probably do pay less in off-peak hours, right? Probably substantially less. I don't know. I'm speculating. But makes sense.
During the summer, the power company is, having to generate a lot more electricity during the day than it does at night. So, yeah, there's some places where you do have off-peak hours and pay less, for the electricity, and then that could affect, the cost of operation to cool the house. But that's pretty much it.
All right, John is here, and he's got a comment on ice-powered AC, so he may clear up some of the gaps in what I've shared here. Hey, John, good morning. You're on the Home Depot Home Improvement Show. How are you?
Good morning, John. Hey, Dave. How you doing, Dave?
Hey, man. Who it is. Hey, John. How are you?
About commercial HVAC guy, I do, too.
Is that what this is, John? Is it commercial application, not residential?
Well, it's already been out in commercial for decades.
Okay.
There's a huge maintenance. They use brine or glycol. They freeze that, and that's mostly just for peak. Like Zeke said, it's peak power.
Got it.
Reduction. So they, and then it's also a good reserve, but not for long, unless you have 40 tanks of ice behind you where you can run that for a weekend. But that whole ice thing is a huge maintenance issue. And I don't know about this ice bear thing, but everything in commercial eventually gets down to
that's what I was going to ask.
Residential.
Yeah. Yeah. So maybe.
How much does it cost to run it, and how much does it cost to save it, and then you make this residential transition because the cost gets cheaper, or some of the stuff gets prohibitive to do anything, and then it just doesn't work out, or it's a clicky green thing.
Yeah, yeah.
That's big business then. But if you think about it, last month we had a bunch of 98, 99 degree days.
Yeah.
And your home's HVAC system is just not designed for that,
right?
For that influx of added heat. So I could see where something like this, if money is not an option and you don't care what it costs, to have this as a, but then that would also mean a secondary duct system or a secondary means of transporting that into the space.
Right.
Yep.
Redundant system. So.
All right, we're coming on a break that I cannot miss, and so I'm going to go ahead and do it. John, we've got you. We got you on hold for a second. Always appreciate you cutting straight to the point with us, sir. Most grateful, folks. This is the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. You can call us at 704-570-1110. That's 704-570-1110. We've got the HVAC partners in the house, but we'll talk about whatever is important to you when we return to the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. Welcome back. This is the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm John Gordon.
I'm Dave Doval.
I'm Scott Shelton with Charlotte Comfort Systems Heating and Air Conditioning.
And I am Zeke Acosta with Acosta Heating, Cooling, and Electrical.
Guys, thanks for being with us. I think John wrapped up. He made a really good point. Two things. One of them was a question I wanted to ask you guys that I think we kind of know the answer to. And that was most of any applications that we're looking at commercially ultimately make, in some version, their way down to residential. That's a pretty accurate statement, isn't it?
I mean, in most cases.
Yep. So I mean, if ice is a thing, I don't want to beat up on it because I'm But I would wonder, like, if you're blowing air across this, like, what has to be in there to prevent bacteria from growing? Anyway, a lot of questions. But I do want to ask a question about, and by the way, folks, I'm sorry, I need to do our Home Depot product of the week. Let me get that out of the way. We talked about that last hour, and I love this product because I live in Home Depot stores, and they have big, bad racking. And the Home Depot product of the week this week, it's summer is wrapping up. Kids are back in school. All the summer equipment and fun stuff needs to get stacked and stashed away. It's time to, you know, not leave it in a pile. And so I'm suggesting the Husky Heavy Duty Boltless Steel Garage Shelves. They are awesome. They come in a couple different colors. You can stack them. You can put them side by side. They have a 1,000 pound per shelf weight rating, and they have a lifetime warranty, and they do not cost a second mortgage, like $180. So that's it. That's our Home Depot product of the week. I do want to go back, though, and get you guys the benefit of your thinking on, I read again about sensor-enhanced vents, where they're doing some kind of feedback loop, I guess, from the actual vents in a room, and it sounds like adjusting airflow in and out of that room. Does that sound like something you recognize?
Yeah, not something I'd traditionally recommend.
That was my question, right? Because we've always talked about, hey, people will close registers in a particular room to save energy, but there's some complications to that, isn't there?
Sure. And I mean, there are some temperature activated zone dampers or registers that open and close with the temperature. But the problem is that, you know, unless you have the right air handling system that can handle the static and maybe slow down when you need less airflow, you end up creating more problems.
So,
and it would generally be unhealthy to turn off air to given areas. And even if that register closes, it doesn't mean that the air is going to back up and go elsewhere. It just means that it's now going to be blowing that air, you know, between the subfloor or into the crawl space in a lot of cases, because not everything is sealed completely.
Yeah. Leaky ductwork would just,
So you'd be just blasting that into walls. And am I right with air conditioning, then you're inviting problems when you put really cool air into what's potentially a more humid space?
Right.
Okay. All right. Looks like John might be back on the ICAC. Hey, John.
Hey. I was cut off, but the one of the other things, you just talked about another commercial product, a VAV system, variable air volume system, has been in buildings for decades. Now they want to try to do it in a house, but back to the ice thing where you said bacteria and all that's a big thing where you got to take care of it outside, you got to have whatever. But it's funny, you just brought up another commercial item that they're trying to do on vents. I mean, your residential guys know what it takes to freeze a coil, and you start doing that wrong thing, those guys are going to make more service calls, I think, if they're trying to rig that. But anyway, that was it.
Hey, I appreciate it, John. Thanks. I wasn't sure whether you said goodbye or whether we lost you. So thanks for calling back. I appreciate you. All right, there you go. Always straight to the point. Appreciate that. Folks, this is the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. You can call us at 704-570-1110, 704-570-1110. Got a couple minutes before we got to take our break. Here's something that made me feel better. Again, in this same article where all these different ideas, commercial and residential and crossover, are all happening, one of the things that they spoke about as being absolutely exceptionally good was dual fuel heat pumps. And I'm like, okay, we're back in our league. We're talking about stuff that is that's digestible for us and applicable. So I really no discussion there other than to say, I think you guys have been saying all along, David, I know you have, that a dual fuel heat pump is really, as the saying goes, the best of both worlds. Super efficient when you
perfect for our climate.
Yeah, it really is. Now, this cold climate heat pump that's allegedly 100% at negative 4 degrees Fahrenheit. I'll send that to you. I'd love to get the benefit of your thinking on that, because it sounds almost too good to be true, or it sounds like a monstrous piece of equipment. But who knows? The truth is, technology gets better and better and better, and so maybe. I don't want to sound critical. If I do, apologize for that. One of the things that I guess I'm trying to look at all the different things we talked about. Oh, look, we're going to be close to a break here, so I'm going to go ahead and get us down that path. I do want to talk a little bit about a little more. You touched on it, I think, Scott, on the upgrades for environmental standards, and I want to understand a little bit more maybe on what that means and help folks plan for that. Folks, you're listening to the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. You can call us. We're at 704-570-1110, 704-570-1110. You can go to askjohnanddave.com, click on the questions button, and send us a note that way. We're going to take a little break, and we'll be back right after these important messages. Welcome back. This is the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm John Gordon.
I'm Dave Doval.
I'm Zeke Acosta with Acosta Heating, Cooling, and Electrical.
And I'm Scott Shelton with Charlotte Comfort Systems Heating and Air Conditioning.
Thanks for being with us, guys. We're in our last segment here, the fabled lightning round. Give us a call, folks, if you got questions, especially HVAC questions. Our partners are in the house this week, as they are the second Saturday of every month. We're at 704-570-1110, 704-570-1110. Been talking about a lot of different things, practical things, and then some innovations coming down the line. I did want to, I made a note that, again, as I was kind of messing around prepping for the show, there were, from one individual's perspective, five top HVAC technologies and innovation. And this is a very large category. So one was sustainable HVAC systems. The second was smart thermostats. I think one of you guys said, yeah, that's been out there forever. I mean, not literally, but that's pretty pretty common and pretty accessible in a residential. Number three, this is going to blow your mind, preventative maintenance. That's technology and innovation. You just got to do it. You just got to do it. And then mobile-friendly technology. And then this is for you guys, not for the consumer, and that's virtual reality training, where you're taking your techs, I guess, into virtual reality to get them up to speed. I do know a company that we used to use in multifamily out of Las Vegas, and he built like this whole kind of pole barn, I guess you'd call it, behind his shop, and then had a lot of different uses, but he had an entire section that simulated an attic with, you know, trusses, you know, joists, drywall that you could fall through and everything. And then he heated it as a training to whatever it was, 120 degrees. And the guys went up there and worked in 120 degrees. You could step through the drywall. It wasn't a safety thing. He put 3/4 plywood about 6 inches below the drywall. So you didn't go through, but you got dinged if you stepped on the drywall. So it was a very, I guess, reality simulating scenario. It wasn't virtual. It was a real thing. Back to the questions or the comments about energy stuff that's coming down the road. So we talked a little bit about a new refrigerant. Would you share what you think the dates are, or what you know the dates to be on that again, please?
January 1st.
January 1st.
Of this coming year.
2023.
Yep.
Uh-huh. Holy cow. So what does that mean for us? So I'm a little confused.
If your equipment is working and it doesn't need to be replaced, it doesn't mean anything. But if you buy a new system starting next year, that's going to be the base of the refrigerant that's used now. It's more than likely going to be either R32 or R454B, which are both propane-based.
Okay. All right. So, and you don't anticipate like challenges with it being propane based from a flammability perspective and stuff like that?
Well, they say that it takes a concentrated energy source to ignite it.
Okay. All right. So not likely to be a challenge and not too bright for Okay, got it. All right, so I think we've hit on all of the stuff that we have. Dave, we don't have any emails HVAC related, do we?
We didn't. They come usually, yeah. It's right when summer comes and then right when winter comes.
So. Yeah, so we're headed into that. Headed into that time. I think the only thing I guess maybe that would be good to tie together would be the discussion we had, and I forget who our caller was, with a crawl space question, and one of the questions that came up when we had Mark Steiner on with us was energy savings that come as a function of closing in a crawl space. There, can you guys comment on that? Our understanding is there's really no energy savings from doing that. It's all about structure and humidity. Is that right?
Could be some energy savings in the heating season.
How's that?
But, you know, the infiltration rate is gone.
Our crawl space stays about in the 60s in the winter. And with the dehumidifier running in the summer months more, it's been 80 this whole week in the crawl space. So, you know, is that radiating up through the floor? Does it make our floor warm? I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
I'm sure there's a little bit of difference there, but there was not much difference in our electricity bill this month. So
I just think the indoor air quality alone is
enough
to, you know, seal the crawl space.
Well, and Scott, a multitude of reasons, even if I didn't seal my attic, but my worry was that moisture from the crawl space would make its way into the house, through the house, into the attic. With a sealed attic, now it's trapped. So I couldn't risk that. Oh. So, you know, I did those really in conjunction with each other. So, as you say, it makes its way through. It's what's going to happen.
All right. One last question on smart thermostats. I'm still puzzling on Don's scenario. One of the top five technologies was smart thermostats. Don had, you know, some challenges with his. David, what is yours? Is like a little iPad hanging on the wall,
mm-hmm.
And then are there notifications? Is somebody getting notified when it's time to do a?
If it's set up properly, I mean, most of them do have where you can do a connect it to the internet and then send alerts out, and you can set up alerts to go to the homeowner, the service company, or even the like with Linux, it alerts Linux, and Linux then send us an email saying, you know, this customer, you know, upstairs unit is not working properly or something to that effect. The humidity is too high. So like Scott was saying, you know, sometimes we know about it before the homeowner realizes that the unit's not working.
And then are those compatible with other smart technologies? So, like, is it problematic if somebody wants to remotely turn, you know, adjust air conditioning or adjust humidity or adjust heat?
No, I mean, it's once you got it set up for your house, you can change the temperature from your phone or laptop or, you know, and just especially, let's say, if we've had it for years. If you had, you know, a mountain house or a beach house,
right,
that you could turn it on before you head to the beach, and you know it'll be comfortable by the time you get there.
Hey, John.
Yes.
Well, also, one of the features that we enjoy is that if you called me and said, "Hey, the blower is really loud, or it's not cooling properly," we can log into the equipment, make those changes to the blower, or even run diagnostics on the equipment to have an idea what's wrong with it before
you get there.
Send out a technician.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can make sure you have the right part to fix it.
Sure.
Yeah. And then Zeke, I get the comfort aspect of, hey, turning the mountain house air conditioning on or heat on or whatever before you get there. I would feel like more importantly, Scott, to your point, that knowing that there's a problem at the Mountain House before you get there and all the pipes are frozen, right?
Right.
Sure. So there's some safety benefits too.
What I do with mine is when we have guests, I go to the store and I turn the heat on in the summer.
Trying to get them out.
It's like they how I used to get back, the girls out of the shower. They're all packed up and leaving.
That's the mother-in-law thermostat.
There you go. There you go. The in-laws thermostat. Hey, David, you could patent that.
I'm probably going to get patented, all right.
Yeah, you're going to. Yeah, there'll be patent happening. All right. Go ahead. Did I cut somebody off? I'm sorry.
I was going to say, we have put up thermostats in commercial spaces that were not connected to anything. And the complaint stopped.
Huh.
Just made them feel better to be able to go to the thermostat and change the temperature.
Got it. Makes sense. All right. I've got 100 other questions, but let's just move it. Guys, always, always grateful for your participation and the great support of our show, both on and off the air. Always good to be able to know we can send folks your way to get an honest and accurate answer and a very, very fair price on whatever work is done. Thank you so much for all of that. Folks, this is the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. Each week we want to remind you that we think the most important kind of home improvement that you can make is the one that makes your home a happier place to live in. As you work on everything else and figure out your smart thermostat, don't forget to work on that. And we'll see you next week when we return to the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave.